Welcome to the Land Stories podcast, where our goal is to help everyday people like you own land. And now your host, who is an Eagle Scout that is horrible at tying knots, Dave Denniston.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of Land Stories Live. I am your host, Dave Denniston of Generation Family Properties, LLC, where our goal is to help hundreds of people just like you own land. And most of all, we would love to tell your land story. Well, I am back. We have, I've taken a couple months off here over the summer. I hope you and your family have been well and making it through the whole coronavirus. Today, I'm just flying solo, so you know I got to tell some jokes today. Plus, I'm going to share with you about a week ago, my family and I got back from a recent road trip. So thought you'd love to see some land, maybe in some places that you haven't seen before. Now, not only that, of course, we are going to continue our series that we are wrapping up of the largest landholders in America. We're almost there. Today, we are going to cover the second largest landholder in America. Also, today, we're going to be talking about our featured property. It's a brand new property, a huge property out in Huerfano County, Colorado. So hope you'll enjoy that. So let me open it up with a little jokesy today. All right. We got a twofer. Are you ready? So, a physicist, an engineer, and a mathematician are all locked in separate burning buildings. The physicist runs to the chalkboard. He calculates exactly how much water he needs to put out the fire. He runs and finds that amount, and he puts out the fire. And he survives. The engineer, meanwhile, he pulls out a calculator, rather than the chalkboard. He calculates exactly how much water he will need to put out the fire. And then the engineer runs and he finds 10 times that amount. He puts out the fire and survives. Then finally, our mathematician, he also runs to the chalkboard. He calculates exactly how much water he needs to put out the fire. And he declares, there is a solution. And then he burns to death. The poor mathematician, always a little late. Here's another one for you. So there once was an island kingdom whose people were all fabulously wealthy. Even though they could afford to live anywhere that they wanted, tradition dictated that they stayed on their tiny island home. Eventually, their king became frustrated, and he called a meeting of the tribe's elders. He said he wanted them to figure out a way he could enjoy his wealth and stay within traditional guidelines. After much consideration, the elder suggested he build a magnificent throne. When he objected there wasn't enough room in his hut for a throne, the elders suggested he call in an engineer to solve the problem. So soon, the king's tiny hut, it was rigged with an elaborate system of ropes and pulleys, and he could lower the huge throne for use during the day. And at night, he could haul the throne up and lower his bed. This, my friends, was truly the best of both worlds for the king. Unfortunately, after a few months of constant use, the ropes frayed. And one night, the throne slipped and came crashing down on the king, killing him. The wise men of the island recognized a lesson in this experience and added to the lore of their people with this statement. People who live in grass houses should not stow thrones. the jokes. I love it. Well, I mentioned we came back from a road trip recently. So my family and I went from Minnesota out to the Black Hills of South Dakota, and then we made our way out to Estes Park, which I want to tell you about a little of these places, and if you ever head out there, give you a couple of highlights. So I'm going to share my screen for those of us that might be watching this video. And let me first kind of tell you where the Black Hills are if you're not familiar with it. So I'm here on Google Maps. And here out to the east of the Black Hills is Interstate 90. So we drove 90 out from Minnesota out to South Dakota. And in South Dakota, if you look at most of South Dakota, I mean, it is not a whole lot of terrain, except in the southwest corner of the state where the Black Hills National Forest is. We stayed here at Keystone, right here, which you'll notice is very close to Mount Rushmore. And so was great to see Mount Rushmore. We did all kinds of adventures out here. We went to a place that was a little further down here, I think. We stayed at a place that was near, where is it? Here we go. We stayed right near Rushmore Tramway Adventures here, which this was a cool place. It had zip lines and stuff like that. We also spent some time at a cave that was out here on Interstate 40, which was fun. A little further out here this way. I'll show you a few of the pictures from it. So here's my wife and my youngest daughter on one of the tramways out there. There we are on the zip line. She had never been on a zip line before, so my youngest was really nervous. There we are afterwards, finishing it. I had a hat on when I did the zip line, which it was a small zip line, but I had to hold on to my hat, so don't wear a hat out there. Of course, there's beautiful Mount Rushmore. We had been through this area before on our way out to Seattle, and out when we did that, we came through literally just for the morning. So we stayed overnight in Rapid City, which is over here more to the northeast of Mount Rushmore. And then we quickly drove over here to Keystone and Mount Rushmore and then headed back out to I-90 and out to Seattle. And there was some really nice walking trails around Mount Rushmore that I recommend. You can see we masked up near it because there were a ton of people there. But it was a beautiful day, not too hot, and had a great time doing that. The other one that we ended up loving a lot, we went out to Sylvan Lake in the Black Hills out there. And let me show you where that is. So here is Mount Rushmore area. If you head here on this highway 244, and then you take 385, I believe, right over here on this way is Sylvan Lake. So you have to pay a little toll to get through here, but this area, as you can see, is heavily forested. You can drive during the summer and spring and fall over here to the Needles, which there's this tiny, tiny tunnel that you can see here. You can literally take out your arms and touch both sides, and you have these beautiful tall rocks that are all around you. We went out there and did stargazing at night, so that was really fun to do. We didn't make it past this, but you can see here there's various trailheads and stuff that you can see, just this beautiful area out here. We love Sylvan Lake. We went for a walk all around here, a little hike. Here's a few pictures. You can see just how cool the rock formations are. Apparently, this is where they filmed part of National Treasure 2, where they did the gold hunting. There's my oldest. All kinds of fun places to sit around there, little crevices and stuff you can kind of explore. Just beautiful, beautiful place. And lots of fun things to do around the area. So I highly recommend Sylvan Lake if you have a chance to get out there and enjoy some nature. Now, outside of spending some time there, we also went down to Estes Park, Colorado. So we went from here down to up near here near Fort Collins. So here's Estes Park. So you can see Rocky Mountain National Park was here, and there was no bad view. A lot of it looks an awful lot like this picture. Just lots of lakes, mountains, wherever you go. Even at Safeway, views were beautiful from the grocery store. So we had a lot of fun out there. The what was interesting about going out there during the time of this whole coronavirus thing was that a lot of the national parks, the national park, you had to make reservations, even to hike to get in there. And so we got into the situation where it's like, where do we go? And so I'll give you a little hint. If you go out to Estes Park and you don't want to have to make reservations, there is a YMCA camp. Let's see if I can find it right here. YMCA of the Rockies. And right here at Jackson Stables, there's a parking lot, which of course you can go on the horseback riding, which is awesome. But then you can take hikes out from here. You can see Glacier Creek. You can hike up here to where it says Edwin Brandt Grave, which is like this Bible trail thing. We also did another hike from here out to Bear Lake. Let's see if I can find it. There's Cub Lake. What do we got up here? Bierstead Lake. Bear Lake. So we hiked all the way over here from the YMCA camp. So you can see that from here over to here. So that was a nice hike. Went all on this backside, was really pretty, gorgeous views there. We took some day trips out from Estes Park. We did see Lily Lake, which we kind of parked here when I didn't know that we needed a permit for it because lots of people were there. And I tried to get a permit when we were there, but the permits were gone. So, oh well. We also here, this is a county ran park called Hermit Park. And so you could pay a few bucks and you don't have to make reservations. So we did a hike up to Kruger Rock. We did this homestead, which was just beautiful. Here's the view from Kruger Rock. It's like a 360 degree view. So everywhere you turn, you got mountains and trees. This was the final ascent up to Kruger Rock that the family was taking. That's Kruger Rock up there. Beautiful, beautiful area. Highly recommend it. Another view from Kruger Rock. There's my girls. Let's see. So here's Lily Lake, which again, you can see just beautiful water, some interesting rock formations around. There's a picture I took of the girls. One thing that was interesting about Estes Park, if you ever happen to get out there, was that I can't remember what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought. But another interesting place, another interesting way to work around some of the restrictions on what they do is you can go after 5 o'clock and you don't have to make reservations in the national park. So we went to Copeland Falls, which was another area that was part of the Rocky Mountain National Park. And we didn't have to pay after 5 o'clock and we could get in. You can see all these beautiful waterfalls. There were lots of babbling brooks my youngest with a photo there. Just beautiful hiking trails. And you can go here for miles and miles and miles and miles, but we chose not to. So had a great time there. That was beautiful. Gorgeous picture of Lily Lake here. It really shows it nicely. Let's see. Oh, we went horseback riding. That was fun. And there was Sprague Lake that we also went to. And here was some pictures of Estes Park. So beautiful area. I highly recommend it if you have a chance to get out there. I would say I've been to so many different national parks and places. Estes Park was probably my top five of places I had been to. And it might be the top one if we didn't run into some of the situation with. Hey there, Land Stories listeners. We at Generation Family Properties appreciate your continued support of this podcast. Every stream, every download, Every review matters, and we can just not say thank you enough. To show you just how appreciative we are, starting May 1st, all the way through July 31st, we'll be offering 20%, that's right, 20% off any property to anyone who listens to our podcast. That's 20% off the cash payment, the down payment, and the monthly payment of any property that we have here at Generation Family Properties. All you have to do is opt in by texting 20 off land. That's 20 OFFLAND, 20 off land to 44222. Again, text 20 off land, 20 OFFLAND to 44222. Thank you so much. Can't wait to help make some of your land dreams come true. And now back to the show. The coronavirus. All right. So anywho, getting on to our topics for the day, today are talking about the second largest landholder in America. This gentleman, his name is Archie, goes by Red, is his nickname, Emerson. He and his family own 1.9 million acres of woodland in Northern California and Western Washington. So depending on what thing you're looking at, he's either the second largest or the third largest landholder in America. We're calling him number two for today. There's a really good article on Forbes that talks about his history that we're going to link here. I'll get you through some of the highlights. One of the things I enjoy about this series is just learning about how did these entrepreneurs get to start their business? How did they get to acquire so much land? And how did that work? So let me tell you about a little bit here about Mr. Emerson. He was born 1929. So the guy's 91 years old this year. He was born in Willamette Valley in Oregon. He was the only son of a guy named Curly. Apparently he loved to drink. He went to a private old boys boarding school, and apparently they didn't serve meat. So he started his entrepreneurship early. He started frying up hamburgers in his dorm room and sold them to his friends. He was kicked out of school 1 month shy of high school graduation because he coerced a friend to pin a condom on the bulletin board. So he got kicked out of school for coercing a friend to pin a condom in. His parents got divorced. His dad moved to California, his mom to Alaska. And so, So he ended up graduating from a public school in Washington. In 1948, he purchased a yellow Ford convertible and drove down to California, where his dad had a portable sawmill that he wheeled through the forest. So they moved off of that in 3 years later, and they actually built a sawmill in Arcata, which is a town not far from Redwood National Park. The next year, he ended up being drafted into the Korean War. So while he was away, his dad's drinking habits were bad, 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 bad stuff. And they put the sawmill in jeopardy of closing. When he got back from fighting the Korean War, he took over and turned it around. He invested in better equipment. He added a second production shift. And he was working super hard. Apparently, he was working 7 days a week for years and years on end. For fun and exercise, he chopped wood. He said, we didn't have any money because they just reinvested it all the time. Initially, they didn't have any timberland, and they were pretty darn poor. The 1960s, he had a partnership with another father-son firm, the Crooks. That's right, the Crooks. In 1969, their joint venture had $38 million in sales. So they started doing really well for themselves by the end of the 60s. So 20 years after starting, he started having a lot of success. In this joint venture, the partnership dissolved by the 70s. And so he took over the company. So he bought out the partners for $38 million. He really leveraged up, took a lot of debt apparently to do that. And he started buying a bunch of timberland. So he bought 150,000 acres within a few years. Although what's interesting about this company is most of their logs came from the government. It came from the national forest. So while he was buying up acreages of timberland, he actually got his start mostly through government help. And so in 1988, the Santa Fe Southern Pacific Corporation sold them a bunch of prime timberland. So 522,000 acres for $460 million. And this turned Sierra Pacific, the company he founded, into the biggest owner of timberland in California. Apparently, they got the loan from Bank of America. They gave them loans for $500 million. And he thought that today it's that land is probably worth three times what they paid for it. So he took a lot of risk. That was no small amount of risk that they took. So really it was in the 80s and into the 90s that they acquired land. Over the next decade, they bought 800,000 more acres from Georgia Pacific and other companies. Even today with all this land that they have, they still rely on national forest to supplement their land. And so one of the things that happened, they went to salvage logging. As you can imagine, in California, like 5 years ago, with all these fires going on, apparently the company acquired up to 58% of its logs from the federal government. Apparently today it's much, much lower than that. It's about 20%. So they've definitely got some bargain hunting. They bought stuff at basement prices. They've taken a lot of risk with this company. So there's definitely a lot to admire about what he's done, coming from very humble roots to do what they're doing today. So I recommend reading through the rest of the article. It's really fun, cool stuff, and a guy to admire. Certainly some nature conservants may not agree with some of the stuff that he's done, but something to strive for in life, doing what he's doing. All right. Well, let's talk about our featured property of the day today. Today, we are talking about Colorado, a property in Hare Fano County, Colorado. Let me show you the Google Map link here. So here's our property. It's if I scroll down here in our website listing, here's the outline of the property. So you can see there's this dirt road that goes right through it. So you have a dirt road to get to the property. You can see over here, there's a couple of reservoirs that sometimes are full, often lately has not been. You can see there's a reservoir here, both of them not too far away, the Crane Holmes Reservoir. You see there's even a canal nearby the property that feeds into the reservoir. Pretty dry area out here, but great for someone that wants lots and lots of land. This is 35 acres of property. If you've followed us in the past, in terms of some of our listings, you'll notice here, this property is east of Interstate 25. So a lot of the land that we've had has been west. Actually, all the land in Colorado we've had has been west of 25. This is the first property east of 25. This, and see if we look at some areas we bought property before. We've bought property over here in Costilla County. Lots in Forbes Park, which we have a property or two for sale there. Lots over here near Blanca. Lots over here near San Luis. We bought before land up here in Crestone, north of the Great Sand Dunes. We've bought property up in Park County, up here in this area. We bought property more recently in Teller County, close to Cripple Creek area. So we've never crossed over this line, but here we are with a 35-acre property out here. From the property, you can certainly see the mountain range in the distance. if you go and look on our website, we actually have a couple of properties that are close, really close to the mountains out here. A little harder to get to, actually. They're closer to about over here, I think. So a little harder to get to, but gorgeous properties over there. So this property, not necessarily the easiest to get to, but frankly, it's probably a little easier than some of those properties out there. Not too far from Interstate 25. So yeah, you're about 4 miles away from the freeway. Far enough to get some distance, but certainly not right next to it. So you're close enough to access it, but not too crazy far away. You can see you're close to the town of Walsenburg here. I've driven through Walsenburg a number of times. This is where the county seat is located, the county headquarters. So easy to hop on over there if you needed to. Lots of small restaurants. I ate at this Mexican food here before. They were all right. And good place to catch up on supplies and stuff like that. Go on a little bigger town, maybe with some Walmarts and stuff like that. You got Pueblo, not too far away. Colorado City, not too far away. A little further north, of course, you got Colorado Springs. So how far away is Colorado Springs to this lot? Looking at an hour and a half. That's all you need to do. Hour and a half to get to this property from Colorado Springs. So nice and close to Colorado Springs. Look at a few pictures of the lot here we have on the website. So you can see here's that trail going right to the property. It's not a county maintained road, but obviously you can get there. A little easier over the spring, summer, and fall rather than the winter. Probably good 4x4 access is a good idea. See, there's a little bit of a hillage going on here, but pretty flat. Nice mountain views. And again, here's that outline of the property. This property is, my friends, 35 acres. 35 acres of land. Just think about that for a moment. I believe 1 acre of land is close to a football field. So 35 acres of land is like 35 football fields, I think. So huge amount of property. So if you love to have your own ranch and livestock and stuff like that, this could be a great place for you. If you just want a lot of space to get away from the neighbors, this could be a great place for you. You can see your property taxes are super minimal. This is not in an HOA. There is no electricity nearby, so you'd have to do septic, well water or a cistern or a solar generator for power. So this is an off-the-grid property, perfect in these coronavirus times to get away. The property, as I mentioned, it's only 15 miles from Walsenburg. You're pretty darn close there. Wonderful prairie here and areas. Main thing about this property, at least for now, the pricing that we have for it, we might have a special deal at one point, but for right now, this is the property. We can do a discounted cash price. You save yourself $10,000 if you pay cash, $29,000 if you want this property. If you want to do owner financing, we can do that too. And this property, we are looking for a substantial down payment. About $5,000 down for this property. And that would be an owner financing price of about $40,000 plus interest. And we're looking for a minimum monthly payment of $500 for this property. So affordable for a lot of folks, obviously a larger property than many that we have. And we have so many new properties over the last 2 months. So definitely check out some of our recent listings. We have more 5 acre properties than ever. More recently, we have lots of properties available in Colorado and New Mexico, especially Colorado right now though. So we got Park County and Costilla County and Huerfano County. Definitely lots of places to check out. Torrance County in New Mexico, Navajo County in Arizona, Rio Riba County in New Mexico, Luna County in New Mexico. So lots and lots of listings to check out and peruse. And so, my friends, that wraps up the episode for today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We try and do, now that I'm kind of picking back up, heading into the rest of the year, if you want to tune in every Monday, we go live here on Facebook at around 11:30 a.m. Central for 15 to 30 minutes. And if you have a question about land, we would love to address them here on the podcast or live. Make sure to send them to me, contact@genfamproperties.com, or submit them through Facebook through a message to us. Well, thank you, my friends, for tuning in so much to Land Stories with me, your host, Dave Denniston. Make sure to check out all of our properties at www.genfamproperties.com. And if you are looking for land, it would be my honor to speak with you. You can give me a call directly at 775-234-2058. Again, that's 775-234-2058. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, my friends. Well, that wraps up the episode for today. And just a reminder to show you just how appreciative we are of you listening. Starting May 1st all the way through July 31st, we will be offering 20% off any property to anyone who listens to this podcast. That's right, 20% off the cash payment, the down payment, and the monthly payment of any property. Just send us a text at 44222 with the code 20FFLAND. That's 20 off land. And again, we thank you. We can't wait to help make some of your land dreams come true.